Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We're grateful for the ministry of your word and of your spirit amongst us. We thank you. But how would you bring us together to receive fellowship, to receive instructions by your word, to receive clarity, to receive supernatural direction by your word? We ask that this morning, just as there's no error in the teaching, there will be no error in our understanding. We ask that clarity will fill our hearts in your will and your plans and purposes as your word is received. Gray areas will have light shed upon them, and the naughty areas in our minds will be straightened out as questions are answered. We ask that we'll be built up together in faith through the knowledge of your word. We'll find your spirit walking in us, your spirit walking amongst us to help us to walk in the world. Not only where we gather together, but also outside there when we leave the service. We ask that this morning the whole church will be edified as your name is glorified in our meeting and in our walk outside the meeting. This we ask and receive in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel chapter 10. Chapter 9 rather. So we're looking at the concept of Christian discipleship. Said last week it was a spillover from 2024. Are we together? So I'll be continuing this for the next couple of weeks. Just 2, 3, 4 weeks, I think, I should be done with this subject. Hallelujah. Been on this for about 4 months now. So Christian discipleship. Matthew's Gospel chapter 9. Pardon my voice. I've been trying to battle cold over the week. So he says in 36, but when he saw the multitudes, I hope we're all with our Bibles. If you're in church without your Bible, are you sure you are born again? Right. The church is not where we project scriptures. Yeah, that's not properly done if you see that anywhere. So he says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad. Now, this is not talking about UK or US. Are we together? He says, as sheep, no shepherd. So the scattered abroad, or the scattering abroad here has to do with lack of direction. No spiritual oversight. Are we together? In the course of our study so far, I took you through texts like Numbers, Numbers 17. I took you through texts like 2 Kings. I took you through texts like Jeremiah. We saw Joel. We saw Hosea. We saw Ezekiel, 34th chapter precisely. Then what other texts have we seen? Okay, I probably showed you Psalms, some parts of Psalms. Are we together? We're taking much time on those texts. And I also showed you from the book of Acts 20. Acts 20, and then particularly also when Jesus spoke to Peter, he says to feed my sheep. He said it three times. Are we together? He says feed my sheep. He says feed my lamb. He says feed my sheep. The word poimen poubaton. Are we together? And then he says to feed my sheep. That is to provide leadership. Feeding is not just to say something to people. It actually means to provide spiritual leadership. Are we together? Are we together? So, one of the conclusions we reach in our study is that when it says scattered abroad, you know, it means, you know, they were not under God's leadership. And then we said, you know, from the text we saw so far, that the state of being without a shepherd, like you saw, a sheep without a shepherd. Now, the writer employs a narrative so that if you are reading, you can imagine what he's talking about. You see, knowledge has not gotten into you if it does not affect your imagination. It is not knowledge when you cannot see it while it is being said. And that's why I told you that a proper teaching, one of the signs of a proper teaching, is that teaching must be done with the mental comprehension of the audience at heart. It's illogical. It ought to be understandable. I'm saying it. Are we together? The audience or the listener ought to be able to picture him or herself in the realities of what is being said. That is teaching. So teaching is not just a place you come to and then we just quote scriptures and quote scriptures and quote scriptures. I told you severally that the scriptures are not meant for quoting. Are we together? Now, there's nothing wrong in quoting a text of the Bible, but that is not what it is meant for. The Bible is meant to be explained. Is it clear? Not just to be quoted. You can quote and not explain. You can even quote the scriptures out of its context and make the Bible to say what it is actually not saying. Is it clear? Someone wrote the scriptures, and there is what is in the mind of the writer for the readers to get. So it becomes the work of a Bible teacher to put things forth for you to understand. So teach must be slow, in quotes, but teaching literally has to be done with the mental comprehension of the audience at heart. That is what it means to feed the flock of God. Is it clear, church? Is that clear, church? Alright. So right there in Matthew 9, he says, he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Then he says, because they fainted, and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then look at what he says. He says in 37, he then said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now look at that. He says, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Sheep having no shepherd, yet he says, the laborers are few. Having no shepherd, then he says, the challenge is that the harvest is plenty. So he calls the sheep the harvest. Are we together? And look at this. He says, the laborers are few. Then he says, sheep having no shepherd. Sheep having no shepherd. The laborers are few. So he calls the laborers shepherds. So we said God's work, what we call the Great Commission. For example, if you look at Matthew 28 again, Matthew's Gospel 28, those texts are complementary. Matthew 28, verse 18. I hope you are opening to that text now. Matthew 28. Please ensure you help the person by you to open to the text. It's our custom here. Praise God. I said, praise God. Matthew 28, in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Or, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So look at 19. He says, to go ye therefore and teach all nations. And I showed you that the word teach there is an instructive word. The word teach there. Some translations actually uses the correct word. That is, go and make disciples. I don't know if that's in your Bible. If your Bible reads that, we can just wave. That's what, thank you very much. So that's the translation I'm talking about. Some translation literally says, go and make disciples. Are we together? It's from the Greek word matotheo. Matotheo, which means to make men to learn or to make men adherent. That shows you that what we call the Great Commission. Now, if you read some other accounts like the Mark's account, Mark just said in Mark 16, then 15, he says, go ye therefore into all, he says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved, that believes not shall be damned. This sign shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. He says, you shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and they take any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Are we together? He said, after he had said these things, he was taken up, and they went everywhere preaching, and the Lord walking with, confirming their words with signs and wonders following. Verse 15 to verse 20. Are we together? So if you look at Mark's account, Mark just says, go and preach the gospel. In Luke, how did he put it? He says in Luke 24, verse 44, he says, in verse 44, he says, thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise on the third day, and that repentance and remission in his name among all nations. Are we together? Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Are we together? How does Acts put it? Acts 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. He says, and you shall be witnesses of me. Is it clear? You shall be witnesses of me, he says, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So if you look at the four Gospels account and the book of Acts also, it looks like Jesus is just saying, go and preach. Are we together? But Matthew captures the work much more precisely. Matthew lets us to see that what we call the Great Commission today, what you and I calls the call to the ministry today, two things. Number one, all are called. All are called. There is no uncalled Christian. You know, what we have to church is not an assembly of those who are called and those who are not called or not yet called. No, that's not what we have. What we either have in churches today is an assembly of those who are obedient to the call and those who are disobedient. Is it clear? But the reality of whether you have been called to the ministry, the reality of whether you have been called to do the work of ministry is not debatable. Every Christian is called to the ministry. Every Christian. Are we together? I say this over the years, that every man who is saved by the gospel has been called by the gospel to preach the gospel. So if you are not preaching the gospel, you are not fulfilling God's plans. Are we together? Now, you need not hold a mic. You need not arrange a stage. You need not get into a stadium and gather the crowd to preach. You can meet someone over the table. You can talk to someone over the coffee tea, over the coffee table. You can talk to someone during the lunch break. You can talk to someone at the school park. You can talk to someone in the marketplace. Are we together? In fact, when Jesus said in Matthew 28 there, when it says, go ye therefore and preach and make disciples of all, go ye into the world and make disciples. When it says, go ye into the world and make disciples, I've asked you severally, that when Jesus made the statement, the people he was instructing, where were they at that time? They were in heaven, right? Were they in heaven? In the sky? They were right on the earth. Are we together? So, if he says, go into all the world, go into the world and preach the gospel, they were already in the world. Are we together? That Jesus implied that they will change their locations. No, because later on he says you will be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, and that was where they were. Then it says in Judea, then it says in Samaria. Are we together? And I've explained that to you severally, that geographically speaking, where they were was Jerusalem. They returned to Jerusalem the moment Jesus was taken out of their sight. They returned to Jerusalem. You look at Acts 1, verse 5 and 6. They returned to Jerusalem. Luke 24, verse 50. They returned to Jerusalem. Are we together? They returned to Jerusalem. So when he says, you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, geographically speaking, where they were was Jerusalem. Now, if you look at the topography of that environment, the next city to Jerusalem was Judea. Now, the next city to Judea was Samaria. Jesus many times went in Samaria to preach. Are we together? So, the next geographic location to Jerusalem was Judea, then Samaria. So look at what it says. It says, you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem. Then it says, in Judea. Then it says, in Samaria. Then it then says, unto the uttermost part of the earth. What is he telling them? You start preaching the gospel right from where you are. I love what Archbishop Benson Idahosa said. He said, a lizard in Nigeria cannot be an alligator abroad. And that's very true. A lizard cannot suddenly turn into a crocodile or an alligator abroad. So you have to start. The influence that you do not have for the Lord in your environment, you cannot have for the Lord in another environment. I start doing God's will. I start obeying God right here where I am. Someone say, right here where I am. Someone say, right here where I am. I start obeying God right here where I am. Praise God. So when he says, go into the world and make disciples, they were already in the world. I recall we did a study on that. We saw the word go in the Greek. That word is actually a present continuous tense. To go is the word poriomai in the Greek. P-O-R-E-U-O-M-A-I. Poriomai. It means, you know, it's a present continuous word. We saw that word. We saw, it would rather translate that as you go into the world. Rather than say, go into the world, they were already in the world. But it meant, as you go into the world. In other words, as you mingle with men, this should be a major part of your interaction with people, making disciples. Did you get it? Did you get it? As you mingle with men, as you interact with people, as I interact with people, since you interact with people, as you go into the world, or since you go into the world, make disciples. How do we go into the world? I buy things at the marketplace. I visit the bus stop. I take a bus interstate traveling. Are we together? What else do I do? Oh, sure, I go to the football pitch. Maybe I don't go to the football pitch, but I go to the viewing center when I watch Arsenal versus, is it what now? What do you watch again? Praise God. I said, praise God. So since I interact with people, my avenues or the avenues through which I interact with people becomes an opportunity to have conversations with them concerning Jesus. That is what he's saying. You don't need speakers, microphones, and all that before you preach the gospel. And having preached the gospel, I then begin to take responsibility for those who are saved. To see to it, they are growing in the Lord, they are growing in the knowledge of God, and they are walking in the victory of God's word in their private lives. Praise God. That is discipleship. Summarize. That is discipleship. So go into all the world and make disciples has to do with discipleship. And we said, this is a task of every believer. I mean, so far, we've said that. I miss other things. Now, I closed last Sunday on a note emphasizing the fact that there are foundational instructions. Do you recall? We said, it is difficult to be a disciple or to make disciples when you are in isolation. Do you recall? So we looked at the local church, what we call the local assembly. The local assembly. I told someone, I said, what local church do you? My church is not local, my church is international. Praise God. Yeah, the fellow does not know the meaning of local church. Local church does not mean that you're attending, local. It's only local. No. Local simply means it's a physical place. You get it? You get it? Now, I know some biology students here who understand what I'm saying. When you say a disease or an infection is localized, right? When it's localized, it means there's a response to it, as opposed to systemic. Systemic. Praise God. When you have something that is systemic, that means it's in the blood. A systemic health condition is in the blood, all over the body. When you have local, it means He's on the spot. I don't know why I'm touching this place. Are we together? But praise God, excuse me. But it means he's on the spot. Is it clear? So local church means that you meet at a place. That's the idea of local church. A physical place, a physical address, a physical gathering. So why do we call local church? Because there is also the concept of the universal church, which is the entire body of Christ. So but when we say local church, the Christ exists in its physical assemblies. So for example, use the word denomination. So when he says, what's your denomination? We are literally asking, where is your local church? Are we together? So it doesn't mean, they say, no, I don't attend the local church. My own church is international. No, you don't get it. Praise God. So we said, discipleship is difficult when you're not in the local church. I told you that the very idea of disciple or disciples, it says go make disciples. So the very idea of disciples already means there's a community. So no Christian is expected to exist in isolation. No Christian. No Christian. So he says, a sheep without what? A shepherd. Then the next thing Jesus says is that we have to do something about it. He says, pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest. So we have to do something about it. So look at this. A sheep without shepherd, we have to do something about it. Why? Because a sheep without shepherd, that status is not God's plan. To exist as a Christian without a church. To exist as a Christian without being a member of a local is not God's plan. I went a little bit further. Then we saw, what does a member mean? Because you can't find that word in the Bible. Are we together? I didn't say the word member does not occur in the Bible. But I mean member of a church. Are we together? That word does not occur in the Bible. Now, the concept is in the Bible. But that word, that description, member of a church, is not in the Bible. So, by the time we look at the Bible, what does the Bible, how does the Bible describe member of a church? When we look at the book of Acts, we begin to see how members of churches were described. And the word used for them is the word disciples. Disciples. So what today we call church membership, are we together? In the book of Acts, which explains the church to us, in the book of Acts, where we see the Bible pattern of church, the book of Acts, if we look at what we call church membership, it is described as being a disciple. Praise God. So, a church is a gathering of disciples. Are we together? That is how it ought to be. A gathering of what? Don't forget, it's not online. It's nothing like online church. It's that description is strange to the scriptures. When you say online church, it shows you don't understand the meaning of church. Because church itself implies physical gathering. A physical gathering. Physical. It implies a physical gathering. Praise God. I said, praise God. So, disciples. So, discipleship occurs where? Occurs where? Does it happen in your room? Does discipleship happen in your room? No. No book of the scriptures was written to a Christian in his room. Are we there? They were written to assemblies. The books of the Bible, the epistles, were written to what? Assemblies. That means, if there were no assemblies, the apostles would not have written. Would not have written. Are we together? They would not have written. So they wrote to assemblies. Paul wrote to assemblies. Look at Romans 1, quickly. Romans chapter 1, quickly. I was Romans 1. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 1. Let us written to assemblies. Look at verse 1. Can we all read together? Verse 1, won't you go? Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated to the gospel of God which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, was made the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Can we take verse 5 together? By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience of the faith among all nations, for his 7. Everyone wants to go? So to all that be in what? So does it look like it's writing to a single person or a people? Now obviously, when he says to all that be in Rome, could he be writing to non-Christians also? No, because the next statement he says what? Called what? Saints. Do you get it? Do you get it? So can we say that this letter targets Christians in the city of Rome, the assembly? Can we say that? Can we say that? Okay. So it writes to a church. It writes to a church, not to Christians in their rooms. It writes to a church. So, whatever you are reading in the entire book of Romans is expected to be collectively understood and collectively what? Practiced. You will not understand the book of Romans if you are in isolation, because it is written to an assembly. Are we together? Are we together? For example, I showed you on Sunday in a very popular text, 1 Corinthians 3:16. He says, "Know ye not that what the temple?" Right? Right? Let's open there. Some don't know. 1 Corinthians 3. Quickly. Let's open there. In verse 16. Are you in 16 now? Let's read together loudly. Want to go? Know ye not that what? You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now look at 17. It says, if any man defile the what? Temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God what? Which what? You are. Are we together? Now, this letter, is it written to an assembly or to an individual? assembly, right? Now look at this. If I write something to an assembly of people and I use the word you, that you, does it focus on an individual or that assembly? Thank you. Simple. So know you not that you are the temple of God? Who is the temple of God there? A Christian or the church? Is one person called temple? No. So you find some Christians, they stay on this text to not fellowship with other Christians. You're walking in disobedience. Because if I'm writing to an assembly of people, see, you just need to see it that way, and that's liberation. That the word you in the epistles, the word you in the epistles is not as individual as you think. It's collective. Because the writer writes to a church. Then if you look at the context, look at the context in 1 Corinthians 3. Look at verse 1, everyone, quickly. Verse 1. Are we together? Or let me just help you a little bit more. Look at chapter 1 quickly. Are you in chapter 1? Can we read together verse 1 once ago? Paul called an apostle. I want us to read together. Can we take it together once ago? I want everybody reading. Can we take it together once ago? Can we read a little bit louder once ago? Okay. Two. Is it writing to a believer or a church? Did you get it? So he writes to a church. Now read on. Let's read on. Once you go. To them that are what? Verse 3, everyone. Okay, verse 4. So, wait. I on your behalf. He sent somewhere or the church. Thank you. Read on. Okay, verse 5. So, the whole church is enriched in knowledge, right? The whole church is enriched in all utterances, right? Verse 6, everyone. So he says, so that you come behind in what? No gift. That means in that assembly, all the gifts are what? Functioning. In the assembly. Did you get it? Look at the next verse, 8. Want to go? Okay, now, I want you to move to chapter 2, verse 1. 2 verse 1, this is just solved by reading. 2 verse 1, want to go? Verse 2, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus and his. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5. Are we together? So the you there, an individual or a people? Chapter 3, quickly. Chapter 3, verse 1, once ago. So who is carnal there? A particular Christian, or the assembly was walking in the flesh? The assembly. The assembly. Do you get it? The assembly. So look at this. He says, even as unto babes, plural, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for either though you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you able, for you are yet carnal, an assembly. In that assembly, why did they say they are carnal? Look at it. He says, for while one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? In other words, there was a division. Or there were divisions in the assembly. So in that same chapter 3, look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. He says, for we are what? You are God's what? You are God's what? So God's building one person assembly. Thank you. So what am I? I am a member. Are we together? Of that assembly. But I am not the assembly. I am not the body of Christ. Are we together? I am not the church. But I am a member. Are we together? So many people, multiple people, then comes together and makes what? The church or the body of Christ. One person is not the body of Christ. So one person is not God's temple. God's temple is a people. Ephesians 2, quickly. Ephesians 2. So know you not that you are the temple of the Spirit? Know you not that your body, your assembly, is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Look at Ephesians 2. From verse 15. Everyone, let's take it together. I want to go. Okay, read on. Okay. Now take verse 19 together. Everybody loudly wants to go. So is one person the household of God or a people? Thank you. So who is the temple of God? A people? An assembly? Thank you. An assembly in. Read the next verse. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner. 21. In whom all the building, did you see? All. It says, fitly framed together, grows unto the Lord, what? An holy temple. Or groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. So the people is the temple. In whom you also have builded together, a people, for an habitation of God. Is that the temple of God? Through the Spirit, a people. So look at this. The reason why some Christians find it difficult to act on God's word is because they are alone. God gave you an instruction and gave you a company, because it is the company that makes heeding the instruction easy. The company. So you find Christians struggling with their prayer lives. Because you have not discerned the body. You've not allowed the body to occupy its place in your life. So we struggle. We struggle with prayer. Are we together? Some Christians can't pray alone. For 6 hours. 6 hours. You can't pray for 6 hours. Some can't pray alone for 12 hours. Pray alone for 12 hours is work. You haven't started. Praise God. You can't pray for 1 hour. 1 hour. Alone. Without taking pure water. They are going to pray. So you put pure water by his side. When you pray 5 minutes, you drink water. You should go with a bag. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. See, I embrace the body. Look at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2. Let's take verse 2 together. I want to go. Newborn babe. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 3. Let's read verse 4. Five, slowly. So you also, one person or a people. Lively stones, one person or a people. A people. Let's read verse 5 together again. One to go. You are, So spiritual house. Does that sound like a temple? So a temple is one person or a people? A people. Let's finish the text. One to go. Okay. Acceptable unto God by who? Jesus. Yeah. So in discipleship is God's wisdom for me to function in the assembly. That is how the things of God in me begins to find expression. And that is how I receive of the things of God that He has put in others. See, I'm not smarter than God. So I told us on Sunday that is a foundational instruction. That's a foundational instruction. Foundational instruction means if you have not done that one, some other things will be difficult. Some other things will be challenging. So to be found in the church is God's plan. And you're being discipled. And you're also discipling others. Some of you don't know that you actually can raise ministers of the gospel. You don't know. It hasn't occurred to you that God can actually train pastors using you. And the devil doesn't want you to know. Satan doesn't want you to know. Praise God. So in the local assembly is where discipleship is carried out. I put it in my note. I said, church services, it is critical to a Christian. Church services is as critical to a Christian as blood transfusion is to a sick body. The same way you need blood transfusion when you're ill or when you're sick, as important as it is, then church services, they act like blood transfusions. It is through church services that you become healthy spiritually. Your feet. Praise God. Your feet. You're fired up. You're strengthened. Direction. You have God's direction in your life. Glory to God. So from the Numbers 27:17 text, he says, a man to take oversight. Hallelujah. A man to take oversight. Let's take our text again. Numbers 27:17. Numbers 27:17. He says, verse 16, let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, that he may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no what? Shepherd. So we say sheep without shepherd, not God's plan. Can you complete that for me? Sheep without shepherd. Sheep without shepherd. Again, sheep without shepherd, not God's plan. A Christian without an assembly, not God's plan. Everyone is responsible for someone in the Lord. That culture of existing in isolation is strange to Christianity. It's strange. That culture of existing in isolation. Existing in isolation. He says that may lead them in. The word yatsar in the Greek, in the Hebrew rather, it means to provide a path, to give direction. So God provides His own leadership to men, through men. He provides His direction to men, through men, to give direction. I told you, sheep without shepherd means no vision, no orderliness. Orderliness means that your life is organized. One of the beauty that a local church brings into your life is that it makes your life organized. Organized means everything occupies its rightful place. Organization means I know who is who. The moment you don't know who is who in your life, that's disorganization. That's being disorganized. Not knowing who is who. Not knowing the place that occupy your life. A Christian must be able to answer a question: who is this fellow to me? And then you put that person right there. What's the place of this? What's the place of that? An organized life. And that's what an assembly does for you. It helps you to pray where you ought to pray. It helps you to be in the church where you ought to be there. Many times, effectiveness in your natural life is tied to how clean your spiritual life is. And by how clean, I mean how organized it is. How organized it is. Sometimes, what will strengthen you to get up and do a natural thing at the time you're supposed to do it is because there is now a training in your life that makes you to be at the place you ought to be when you ought to be there. There's a company. There's a training. There's an instruction. There's a person. There's a somebody that helps you to be right there where you ought to be. Where you ought to be there. Then suddenly in your own personal life, you begin to take those steps. You're now more responsible. You're more responsible. I told you also. I said there is no greater motivation to living right than the fact that you are responsible for life. Yeah. If you look at God's word, there is no greater inspiration to live rightly than being examples to the flock. Christian dress, and then you say, why do you dress that way? He says, I don't care what anybody says. No, a Christian cares about what people say. Praise God forevermore. A Christian cares about what people say. A Christian doesn't talk anyhow. A Christian cares about the effects of his words. Don't say, you don't know me, oh. You don't know me, oh. If I speak into your life, it was in his Yoruba. If I speak it into your life, you just go and commit. A Christian. No. My words gives people the reason to take another shot at life. People are confused out there without direction. They wake up in the morning, they don't know where to go, whether to the right or to the left. And you are God's man. Are we together? Are we together? That means you have words. When people listen to a Christian, then they don't feel like giving up anymore. That's who you are. I have the words of God on my lips. My words are healing words. He said, don't let me open my mouth. Don't let me open my mouth. If I open my mouth, who can lock me? That's not a Christian. I mean, a Christian doesn't do that. Examples. See, I'm an example. And the grace of God is upon our lives, right? Look at it. When you make efforts in God's word, the grace of God comes upon you to make it successful. When you make efforts in God's word, you make efforts in God's word. When you make efforts to act on an area in God's word. Now, when you choose to be stubborn and to be evil in your life, Satan also comes. Praise God forevermore. I say, praise God. So, scattered in Matthew 9 has to do with going about life their own way. It has to do with not fulfilling God's plan for their lives. Scattered as sheep, having no shepherd, that means in their marital lives, they are not fulfilling God's plan. In their maritals, their marriage, they are not fulfilling God's plans. The kind of things they do in their lives, in their businesses, in their, that means that their relationships with each other does not glorify God. So Jesus says, they need a shepherd. See, God's shepherd is God's answer. You got to find. And you know, we live in a very strange world. We live in a very strange world where you find people, because people now develop strange appetites. So people don't mind making money by bastardizing what God does. That's a terrible generation. Terrible generation. You call them content creators. So they hunt for, like sniffing dogs, they hunt for what is wrong. So they are lying in wait to sniff for what is wrong in churches. What is wrong in other people's lives. So they put it out. Content. What is wrong in people's marriages. So they are sniffing. They are sniffing. See, the moment you make a business of your own life, your focus in life is to fish out what is wrong in systems, in churches, in other people's lives, it means you don't have a purpose you're living for. You don't have a purpose. So when I see those kids, it just shows how many of our young people has no purpose to their lives. A sheep without what? A shepherd. And I know some Christians feed on them. So some Christians feed on them, and then you wonder why you can't pray. When you eat the wrong thing, you can't run. Praise God. They are feed on the right thing. That's it. That's why you can't find me on those blogs. Over 10 to 15 years ago. You can't find me there. You can't find me watching. I skip it. Yeah, because I do a lot on the online world. Yeah. I engage the internet a lot. So, but you have to be cautious. Because the world can get into you. Then that affects your ideology. See, God's word is my ideology. Say, the word of God is my ideology. So a Christian cannot fulfill God's plan for their life when they are not found amongst others. And they go, that God gives instructions to assemblies. See, God recognizes assemblies. You might think that God recognizes individuals, or God treats us as individuals. Yeah, that's not wrong. Can God lead me as an individual? Yes. But you see, you rob yourself of a whole lot of God's blessings when you neglect assembly. Because really, from 100% of what God has for you, 80 to 90% is in the assembly. So you have to go read the Old Testament books. When God sent Moses to Egypt, He sent him to bring Israel out. He brought them out. So whatever God does with them, whatever direction God has for them, He brings it to the congregation. God works that way also today. That He has something for you. Look at the book of Revelation. When Jesus was going to address the seven churches, He goes to the pastor, the angel. The angel they have told this valley, the angel of the seven churches refers to the pastor there. He's not talking to a supernatural being. So look at it. John will now be writing to a supernatural being. It doesn't make sense. Are we together? So Jesus comes to John and then He gives him warnings and instructions for the seven churches. That's why when you read it, He says the seven churches that are in Asia, those were churches that John planted. Are we together? Before he was taken to the island of Patmos. Patmos is not an Israeli land. Because John had a ministry in the Gentile nations also. It wasn't just Paul alone. John had gone into the Gentile nations. By the time you read 1 Peter, you observe that Peter also had ministry to the Gentile nations. Cornelius, that called to him, was a Gentile. When you read 1 Peter, the opening of those texts, he says to the saints, scattered about, he mentioned Cappadocia, he mentioned Galatia, and many other people. So, in those same nations that Paul had his churches, Peter also had his churches. In those same nations. Now, one of Paul's major ministry was done in Ephesus. Ephesus was a city in Asia. But now, you see John also writing to the church at Ephesus. That was in Paul's church. Those were his assemblies. To show you that what Jesus had for those churches, He gave to John. Then John will write to the pastor of those churches so he can carry out those instructions and training among his flock. Are we together, church? So much of what God has for me, assemblies. And that is why we're taking a study on Christian meetings. Because some Christ, some folks don't know. Why do we meet as a church? Some folks don't know. Sometimes some people are brought up not so excellently. And so they don't know what church meetings stand for. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So the assembly, or the shepherds through the assembly, will inspire me to walk in God's plan. Jesus Himself taught in the assemblies. You hardly find Jesus teaching somebody alone. You hardly find it. When Jesus was teaching somebody alone, He was trying to win the soul. The woman at the well, Zacchaeus, who else? Nicodemus in John 3 at night. Are we together? Every other instance where Jesus is teaching people, it's a gathering, including in the homes, in the house of Lazarus. We find Mary, find the apostles. He rebukes Martha. He says, why are you not here? Assembly. Someone say assembly. Someone say assembly. So the assemblies of God, the assemblies of my local church, is God walking through my shepherd to inspire me Are we together? Look at Hebrews chapter 10 quickly. Hebrews 10. The assemblies. Discipleship happens within the assemblies. Hebrews 10. Are we learning something? Are we learning something? Okay. In Hebrews 10, glory to God. Look at verse 24. I want us to read together. Verse 24. Are we there? So let's take it together. I want to go. And let us consider one another to what? To provoke. Now don't be carried away. You know, if you use the word provoke today, it's like to get hungry, right? But that's not what the writer was saying. It's an old English for to inspire. To inspire. Praise God. Now look at this. Observe. He puts the responsibility on who? On who? Read the text again. Let us what? So he puts responsibility on who? On you. Praise God. Now let us read it. Let us consider one another to provoke, to inspire unto what? Love. And what? To good works. How? Verse 25, everyone. Let's read together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. So he says, let us consider one another to inspire. Are we together? Are we together? He says, unto love and unto good works, not forsaking. So verse 26 explains it. Not forsaking. Or 25. He says, in the assembly of ourselves together. He says, as the manner of some is. So there are some Christians who forsake the gathering of the saints. But he tells you what to do. Now look at this. He even goes overboard. I thought if you forsake the assembly of the saints, what he's supposed to tell you is to not forsake it again, right? But look at what he tells you. He says you to make sure that others do not forsake. It's good to move from minus 2 to 0. But no, it moves you to plus 2. Someone, if you're here this morning, and someone had invited you to service, the person had done you good. Are we together? So he says, let us consider one another to provoke, to inspire, unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. See, I'm not that some. So forsake the assembly. Are we together, church? So look at this. God wants us to worship Him. And the worship of God is made possible through discipleship in the local assembly. Through discipleship. In discipleship, I receive the teaching of God's word. In discipleship, I receive instructions. Instructions is how I am led. There is no leading of the Spirit without instructions. Instruction is what provides direction. Now that all has been said, what do I do? That's where instructions come in. Are we together? Haven't taught them for 40 days. He then says, go and preach. Oh, so that is direction. So direction that many are looking for in their lives is found where? Inside what? Instructions. Now instructions are difficult to carry out when you are not taught. So, discipleship will bring me the teaching of God's word, then will bring instructions to me, which provides direction for my life. And look at this. This is God's leadership. Are we together? Are we together? I put this in my note. I said, the essence of discipleship is God's word becoming the fundamental principles of my life. Jesus spoke about a man that built his life on the rock. Praise God. Praise God. A man who built his life on the rock. Calls the rock doing his word. Matthew 7, verse 24 and 25. He that hears this word of mine and doeth them is likened to a man that built his house upon the rock. Then he mentions the several situations of life that also comes to the one who has built the house on the sand. Similar situations. So many times, what makes my life, are we together? A picture of God's faithfulness and beauty is when I heed his word. So what does it mean to be exposed to God's word at the young age of my life? It's a privilege to build my life on the rock early. God comes to me. The word of God comes to me early. So I can build my life on the rock early. So Christian discipleship ensures that the word of God becomes the foundational and the fundamental principles of my life and actions. It gets God's word into my decisions. Christian discipleship gets God's word into my plans, into my vision. Are we together, church? The opposite of that is that you are carried away with the spirit of this age. And look at this. Paul said, the days are what? The days are evil. Praise God. Paul says the days are evil. Hallelujah. So, we have evangelism. Right? Right? So, the moment we have evangelism, what do I begin to do? I begin to disciple. I begin to disciple. We have evangelism. Evangelism is going out there and preaching the gospel and bringing people into the house of God through faith. It does not stop there. Like I told you earlier, Mark says, go and preach the gospel. It makes it look like, you know, just go preach the gospel. But Matthew makes it clear. Matthew shows us that the work of God which you've been called to do is actually discipleship. Praise God. If all the local churches will focus on discipleship, the world will be a better place. The world will be a better place. Because many times, the challenge of our society is not that people are not getting saved. But now they are saved, but the head and the mind is empty. When life decisions requires a step from you, you can't supply more than what you are used to. So the society is not changed. How does God heal our society? How does God heal our campuses? How does God help humanity? How does God heal our communities? Even as a nation, discipleship. Local churches focused on making disciples. A disciple of Christ. Will not what? Steal money. A disciple of Christ will not go online and defraud somebody of hundreds of thousands of dollars. Don't say, no, I'm just a G-boy. You are not a G-boy, you are a thief. A what?
A thief. We're a thief.
You're not. There are no. This one is Yahoo. No. This one is not Yahoo. Well, why do you call it Yahoo Plus? You say we have something. Yeah, we have to. You are not a Yahoo. You are a ritualist. And an occultic person. You should be arrested and jailed. Yes. And that is God's plan. Are we together? You should be picked up and jailed. The correctional service. Because you've demonstrated that your freedom is not worthy. So restrict it for a while. Praise God. That is not a Christian. A Christian doesn't divert money that is meant for the public. Just because it's going to be here, it's going to be there for four years. You say, it's 4 years. Let me chop all the things I can chop. No, that's not a Christian. That's not a disciple. A disciple does not sell his body for money or her body for money. Christ knows who he is. A disciple of Christ has an identity. A disciple of Christ is not looking for an identity in the world. Now, the one who is looking for identity in the world participates in the things of the world so he can get a sense of identity. A disciple already knows that his creator is what describes who he is. I have an identity. A disciple of Christ does not say, I'm tired of being a man. I want to grow blessed. Give me the injection. A disciple does not say, I'm tired of being a woman. Me too, I want bebe. A disciple of Christ knows the place of the land and she's proud of it. He doesn't have identity crisis. He doesn't have identity crisis. No, I know who I am. And I know where I'm going. A woman knows. I've come into this world as a woman. Are we together? Yes, we're functioning God's plan. Yes. But make the world together. But as a gender, a woman, to bring forth children into the world and to labor in parentage and raise products that will turn the face of the earth into what God wants it to be like. A woman knows that. A man knows himself. Are we together? A disciple of Christ. So, discipleship is God's wisdom to change the face of the earth. And there is no other institution that is doing it like the churches. It makes the church God's temple. I told you, temple means the place of activity of a supernatural being. That's what. So when you say, when he says, know you not that your gathering is the temple of Christ, that means when we come to church, God's activities, we see God's activities. He works on us. He works in us. Glory to God forevermore. So when we go to our marketplaces, we go back home in our neighborhood, we are that disciple. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? That's God's plans for you. That's God's plans for you. That's God's plans for you. The local assembly. So I get people saved. I'll begin to close here. I get people filled with the Holy Ghost. Then I begin to take responsibility for those who are saved. I teach the word of God. In teaching, the scriptures are explained. Are we together, church? Are we together? Jesus spoke about the work of discipleship in Matthew's gospel quickly. We'll look at that and then we close. Praise God. Are you learning something? So God's plan is what? The churches. I told you. As imperfect as the churches are, it is God's plan. God has not found a perfect one. Is it clear? You read from Genesis to Malachi to Revelation. God uses what he finds. God's plan is the churches. That is why God's work on the earth today is to build what? Strong local churches. A strong one. And I told you that a strong one is not about it. Even though size is important. Are we together? The more disciples we have, the more we can do God's work out there. You agree with me? You agree with me? Do you agree with me that Christians in terms of affairs? If you are quiet, you don't want to go there. Working on what? Policies. Are we together? Policies. Christians. Not folks that will get there and change you. I mean strong Christians. Who understands that big is not for your sake. Look at 2 Samuel 7. He says, He says for David, understood that God had exalted his kingdom for the sake of Israel's people. Can there be men like that that would discover that an opportunity has come to them for the sake of God's plan amongst the people? Those are disciples. So look at it. Disciples of Jesus is the answer to the chaos in the world. Disciples of Jesus. Who are disciples? Adherents. They look like him. They will handle situations like him because he lives in them. Because they are devoted to him. They are devoted to him. They will handle situations. They will make decisions like him. They will commit to his plans on the earth. And God created this world. Are we together? And he has a plan for the earth. How does he achieve those plans? By reaching in the churches. So if I'm involved in discipleship, I'm a functioning member of the church, I am fulfilling God's plan. Glory to God. I say glory to God. I say it again. In discipleship, that is, functioning member of my church. I'm a functioning member of my church. I told you. Something is not a member because it's attached to the body. So, you are not a member of the church because you show up for the services. My eyes is a member of my body because obviously it receives nourishment from my body. But it also sees for my body. So, a member of a church is somebody that functions in the church. You function in the church. That means after a while, the church can rely on you. Rely on you to pray. Rely on you to go out and evangelize. Are we together? Rely on you to strengthen the work of the ministry. That is when you are a member. A member is not someone who shows up on Sunday. A member is not someone who shows up on Thursdays. A member is someone who is functioning. My yes, I am a member of my body. Yes, my body gives to the yes. That's why it's the same color. Or else it would have turned white. If there's a disconnect, it is turned white. My yes receives from my body. But look at this. It also yes into the body. So if I'm distracted and I'm at a crossroad, it can or an horn. Say, oh, I'm sorry. Back up. Your ears into the body.
Your eyes see into the body. Your nostrils, it takes air into the body. Your lungs, your heart, those are members of your body because they strengthen the body. If you do not strengthen an assembly, you are not a member of the assembly. If you don't strengthen any assembly, you are not a member. Most likely, we have every right to doubt that you are born again. Are we together, church? This is God's plans and purposes. So discipleship is how God changes and transforms our world and makes it, Habakkuk 2:14, the whole earth covered with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters covers the sea. This is via discipleship. The whole earth covered. Numbers 11:14, he says, as truly as I live. Are we together? As truly as I live, saith the Lord, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. This is true discipleship. The glory of God is the knowledge of Jesus in the hearts of men. Praise God. Matthew's gospel. In Matthew 4, look at what Jesus did. I'll talk about this more on Sunday. Matthew 4. Glory, 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 glory. In verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into the prison, departed into Galilee, and lived in Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias, that's Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. He says, now this is quoting Isaiah now, verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. 19. Can we take it, everyone? And he said unto them, follow me, I will make you disciples. I will make you fishers. He uses a word they were used to. I'll talk about this more on Sunday. He uses a word that they were used to describe his own mission to them from that point. Now, obviously, Jesus deliberately, I told you before, goes to the sea deliberately. That is why Matthew said that it might be fulfilled according to what Isaiah. There's a prophecy in Isaiah, are we together, about the Galilee of the Gentiles. There's a prophecy in Isaiah about the land of Naphtali, the land of Zebulun. Are we together? There's a prophecy there. Isaiah spoke about that. If you look at Isaiah 9 verse 1, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as were in a vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in the Galilee of the nations. Now, obviously, Jesus' mission is to provide salvation to all, not only Jews. Are we together? Not only the Jews. So Jesus is starting out his ministry. Matthew 4:15 or 14 was just immediately after the temptation in the wilderness. The moment he went through the temptation in the wilderness, the Bible said he went back into the city with the power of the Spirit. The next thing he does, if you look at Luke's gospel, is that he goes into the temple and begins to read Isaiah. The Spirit of Lord God is upon me. Are we together? So this text captured in Matthew 4 was the moment when he returned into the city after the 40 days of fasting and prayer. So look at what Jesus does. Jesus goes into the wilderness. He fasts and prays, preparing for the ministry. And then the moment he returns, he goes to nowhere else except a location that is in the scriptures. Are we together? But not just that, he goes to that location, and where he goes in that location shows you why he went to that location. He goes to the sea. He goes to a place called the Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, obviously, in the Jewish environment, they used to be hostile. In fact, there are many instances where the Jews will refer to the Gentiles as sinners. Because the Jews, in their religious pride, believed that they were the only ones that God had something to do with. And they relegated the Gentiles. They called them sinners. They relegated them as people that should have nothing to do with God. That was why. Now, it wasn't just a consciousness of the Jews. The Gentiles themselves have seen themselves treated that way. That was why in John chapter 4, when Jesus was with the woman at the well, the woman said, the Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. Are we together? Are we together? Because the Jews will say that God is their own God. The oracles of God came to them. The prophets of God came to them. In fact, Jesus made a statement. He says, salvation is of the Jews. Which I've explained to you. That salvation is of the Jews does not mean salvation belongs only to the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews simply explains how salvation came from among the Jews. Why? Because Jesus, through whom salvation comes amongst men, is a Jew. Jesus himself is a Jew. Are we together? The lineage that God used to carry out the work of salvation on the earth was the lineage of the Jews from Abraham. After giving the promise to Abraham in Exodus 14, in Exodus 15, he shows him a vision. He tells him what he would do in separating Israel from captivity of idol worship in Egypt. He sent Moses in Exodus 3 to fulfill that promise. That is why in appearing, God said, I am the Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Why does he say, I am the Lord God of Abraham? He wants Moses to remember Abraham. What about Abraham? The promise to Abraham. So in that statement, Moses will realize that God is visiting his people, sending me to carry out his promise given to Abraham. What did he tell Abraham? In thy seed shall all the nations of the world be blessed. At a time where there was no Jew or no Gentile, God already promised salvation. Is it clear? So God definitely will use his lineage. That was why he chose Abraham. He will use his lineage to commence the work of salvation in all the earth. So Jesus responded to that. He says, salvation is from among the Jews. So the Jews, seeing that, had developed a religious pride over the centuries and thought that God will have no dealing with the idol worshippers of the Gentiles. So they relegated them. But look at Jesus. He starts his ministry. He goes into a place in Israel, the only place that accommodates Gentiles. That is why he says Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee is a Jewish land. Are we together? But he says of the Gentiles. Because Galilee was that geographic location where the Jews permitted dealings with the Gentiles. So he starts his ministry there to show you that I am come for the whole world. And look at this. When he goes to Galilee, play for me, let me close. When he goes into Galilee, he then goes to the sea. So he finds two guys who were fishing. He finds Simon, are we together, who later became the pastor of his church behind him. He finds Simon, then he finds his brother Andrew. Are we together? Then he says to him, he says, follow me. He says, follow me. Are we together? Follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Look at it. He identifies the content of the sea as men. Are we together? Follow me. I'll make you what? Fishers of what? Of the sea. Sorry, fishers of men. He says that fishing. Are we together? Jesus identifies the content. Don't be distracted.
Are we together? Don't spend 30 years looking for what you miss in 30 seconds. Glory to God. You must be a master of focus. Are we together? He identifies the content of the sea as what? He likens them to men. That shows you, look at this, how God sees the earth. It shows you how God sees the earth. Where do we see sea like men? Right from Genesis. In Genesis 1, he says God made heaven and earth. Are we together? He says, and it was void without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Are we together? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 explains that light was as the knowledge of Jesus filling the hearts of men. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 to 6. It shows you this, church. This ought to be your consciousness. That every man on the earth is in the dark sea of waters until Christ comes to pull them out. Fishers of men does not mean you throw men into the sea. It means you take men out of what? Of the sea. That is our work. You are the light of the world. God has made you so. It doesn't matter what challenges are going on in your life currently. There's what God has called you to be. Are we together, church? You are the salt of the earth. Everyone who follows Jesus. Are we together? In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12, John 8, 12, he says, I'm the light of the world. Are we together? He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. Glory to God. See, I follow the Lord. Then he says, when you follow me, something will happen to you. He says, you will be lighted. But when you follow me, you will also happen to others. Because you will be fishers of men. So what God does with you, he does through you. What is he doing in your life currently? Is he helping you? Is he strengthening you? Is he making you a strong Christian? Is he helping you to know his word? What he does with you, to you, he will what? He will do to you. I hope you are now free, church. See, I receive the ministry of Jesus. I embrace the salvation. I receive his word to minister, to understand, to walk in. I receive. Pray for yourself this morning. Every man on the earth, there's a way a disciple sees. Every man on the earth is in that sea of darkness. We'll talk about that on Sunday. Is in that sea of despondency. Is in that sea of spiritual lethargy, lukewarmness. He says, a sheep without shepherd. God is sending you and I to find them. God is sending you now to lay hold on them. God is sending you now to transform them. God is sending you now to heal them. God is sending you now to provide this direction. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, brother. Sunday. I embrace this ministry. I'm effective in it. Pray the Holy Ghost. Hold someone and pray for their ministry this morning. One person. Pray the Holy Ghost. Hold one person. Pray the Holy Ghost. And show the fellow in strength as you pray. And show that fellow in strength as you pray. Yourself as God sees you. I believe about me what God has said. I don't have identity crisis. My heart is rooted and established in this world. I walk in the supernatural ministry of God. God's word in my heart, God's word in my mouth, God's word in my feet, God's word on my lips, God's word in my eyes. I do not leave a sheep without shepherd. I function as that shepherd in the stead of Jesus, going after the lost in an effective ministry. I do this by the power of the Holy Ghost. I have a stronger prayer life. 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 God is able to save through my prayer life. God is able to redeem through my prayer life. He is able to heal through my prayer life. Ministries are battered through my prayer life. Men are saved. Men are filled with your glory. In all the earth, men are saved. Let's take that song. In all the earth, as you walk to your feet, O Lord, let's take that song. In all the earth.